Hey everyone, before we start the show today, I just wanted to take a moment to offer our thoughts and our prayers and our condolences to our friends in the Hendersonville, Tennessee, Nashville, Tennessee, Central Tennessee, parts of Kentucky area that were affected by this weekend's tornadoes. It is awful to see the devastation that has happened in those areas, and our thoughts and our prayers, like I said, are with you. We're up here in New England, or trust me, we would be out there helping you guys as much as we could. If you are in those areas, you know, reach out to somebody and see if you can help them in any way possible, clothes, food, shelter, anything, guys. You know, be the community I know that country music is. And again, our thoughts and our prayers are with you. We hope you enjoy today's episode. Kick back, try to take off some stress from yourselves, and just, you know, enjoy the next hour or so. So cheers, guys. Thanks for tuning in today, and on with the show.
And now, after years of planning, sweating, and going broke, here is the Boots and Whiskey Podcast with Jim Belisle.
And alert the media.
Why they would give this man a podcast is anyone's guess.
And there is what could only be a bizarre coincidence or something else.
Welcome to the Boots and Whiskey Podcast with Jim Belisle.
Trapped, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Country music and fine moonshine. Finally, a podcast that lets it all hang out.
Let's level with America.
Got your boots? Ready for some whiskey?
These boots are made for walking.
One of these days, these boots are gonna walk all over you.
And now, the Boots and Whiskey Podcast with Jim Belisle.
Hey everyone, Jim here, Boots and Whiskey Podcast. Thank you all so much for coming out today and taking a listen to our episode here with the wonderful Molly Lovett. It was a great time talking to Molly. She's got a great story here, everyone. You're not going to want to miss this one. She is such a wonderful talent. She's been through quite a bit in her life so far. And you know what? She's just honestly kicking ass. You know, she's come out with a bunch of stuff here over the last, oh God, year or so now. Flower Girl, the wedding version that we talk about quite a bit in this episode, has come out in the last few weeks. It is a strapped down version of the original that had come out earlier this year. Great songs, great stuff. I hope you enjoy our conversation with her. And if it is your first time here, thank you all so much for coming out. Without you guys, there is no podcast. So thank you so much for coming back week after week, episode after episode. So if you haven't already, if it's your first time here, go check us out on our socials. Instagram and Facebook is where we do a lot of stuff. We're kicking off our TikTok a little more here in 2024. So we're rolling, guys. Go to our website, bootsandwhiskeyentertainment.com. If you are an artist or a business looking for some marketing, social media, booking help, please reach out to us, bootsandwhiskeyentertainment.com. And that's kind of it, guys. We have two more episodes going out this week. We have Cody Cuz on Wednesday, and then we have, who the hell do we have on Thursday? Andrea Vasquez on Friday, not Thursday. Whew, look at that. It's Monday. It was a hell of a weekend. We saw Bert Kreischer last Thursday at the DCU Center. Had a great time. We had some winners for a contest. We treated to dinner and drinks at Off the Rails beforehand. So a big thank you to Off the Rails, a big thank you to the DCU Center, a big thank you to everybody involved with that. The show was incredible. We are going to put out a review here shortly about it on our website. So if you're curious, you know, go take a look when that comes out. That's really it, guys. Thank you so much. You know, as I said at the beginning of the show, our hearts and prayers go out to everybody in Middle Tennessee that has been affected by these tornadoes over the weekend. Our friends in Hendersonville, you know, we are here for you. We are here with you. Stay strong. If you ever need anything, reach out. And so our thoughts are with you. Our thoughts are with our friends over in Nashville. so glad to see that nobody we know was injured or killed or, you know, anything like that. So just, you know, if you're in that area, reach out to somebody, you know, tell them you love them, help them out any way you can. And that's it. Just be good people, man. So without further ado, our conversation with Molly Leavitt, I hope you enjoy, and we will see you on the flip side of this episode to wrap it all up and, you know, go on to the next thing. So cheers, guys. Enjoy. And we'll talk to you soon. Enjoy our conversation with Molly. We want to give a big thank you to our friends over at Off the Rails here in Worcester, Massachusetts. You can find them at offtherailsworcester.com. They have a great restaurant, a great music venue. They have everything you would want to feel like in Nashville right here in Central Mass. If you're ever in the area, check out the restaurant, check out the music venue. Again, offtherailsworcester.com, 90 Commercial Street, Worcester. Check them out. Hey, Molly.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
Yeah, of course. Of course. Thanks for being on the show.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Oh, anytime. Anytime. I don't know if they've told you, but this is your show. This is your show. And I want to hear your story, how you've, you know, started living this dream and, you know, what's going on with you, where you're going and what, you know, who you are as you.
Yeah, love it. Well, I guess I'll start from the beginning then. I'm from St. Louis, Missouri, so I am born and raised there, and just have always loved music since I was really little. Like, my family took me to my first concert when I was literally 5 years old. I went to see Tim McGraw on Faith Hill, and it was just I was just always surrounded by music. We would go see all the local bands play in St. Louis. And my parents put me in piano lessons when I was little. And I was writing songs all the time. Like, I even remember my second grade talent show. I performed a song that I wrote. So I always loved it. It was always my dream. You know, I told people when I was little, I was going to be a famous singer when I was older. That was always it. But I also have a sports family. Like, we're very musical, but then also super into sports. And my parents both played college sports, and my dad was my basketball coach and had a whole basketball club that he started. So I also had that love, and was kind of, I felt like I was like in High School Musical. Like, I was almost torn between basketball and music a little bit growing up. But I ended up in my eighth grade year, I fell in a basketball game, and super random and lucky that I fell, I ended up getting x-rays of my knee because it kept hurting. And we found a bone tumor that was in my femur bone. It was crazy. So we were very lucky that we found it, and it was benign, and I was able to get surgery and remove it. But I was out of basketball for 11 months. So during that time, I fell deeper and deeper into music. My dad taught me to play guitar, which was really, really cool to have him teach me. And it was funny because he didn't know much guitar. He had a guitar at home, but we kind of just like watched YouTube videos together and figured it out. But it was really special to get to do that with him. And then I kind of decided I didn't want to go back to basketball. I went back and played for a few months and was missing music. So that's kind of how I chose to do music full time.
Damn.
Yeah. Now,
so being so involved in you know, the sports world and doing that, was that your original plan, was to kind of ride that wave rather than the music wave?
For a little bit it was. I also remember in eighth grade we had to write letters to like our future selves that we would get when we were seniors in high school. And I wrote in that letter, I said, I'm sure you're about to head to Mizzou and play basketball there. And, you know, then you're going to be the women's coach at Mizzou. And I had this whole plan of basketball. And I wanted to coach at my dad's club and all of this stuff. But I mean, music was always still there, but at some points of my life, I feel like I lacked the confidence in myself musically to be like, oh yeah, this could be your job. This could be your career and you could totally do this. I was a little intimidated, I feel like, for a while, until I finally was like, the music is what I want to do. This is it. I got to go for it.
That's awesome. So yeah. At what point while you're coming up and, you know, you're in your younger years, at what point did you discover, or how did you discover that you could write a song?
Yeah, I think I just always was writing and singing. You know, my parents always tell me that when I was like literally 2 years old, I would sing all the time around the house. Like I would sing into the air vents because I guess I could hear like the echo of my voice in the vents. So I was just always singing. And I actually went to a songwriting camp when I was in second grade. So I think that kind of sparked a lot of, the want to write. And I was one of two people who went to the songwriting camp. So I got a lot of attention from the teacher, and she was great to both of us and helped a lot. Since then, I mean, I had always written. Like I would, for Father's Day and Mother's Day, I would write my parents songs, and like, you know, I was 8, 9, 10 years old, and I always loved to write.
That's awesome. So at what point do you decide, you know what, it's time to leave St. Louis and head to Nashville?
Yeah, so when I was graduating high school, I decided to go to college because I thought that's what I was supposed to do. You know, everybody else was going to college and that's just what you do. So I went to Murray State in Kentucky, and during that year, I started writing even more, and I released my first song. And over at the Christmas break that freshman year of college, I came home and I played my first full band show, which was kind of like the turning point for me getting to do that. It was just the best feeling ever, being on stage with the band. And we had so many people there. They had like a record-breaking night at the venue. And it was really, really cool. And after that show, I remember I told my parents, I was like, I'm not going back to school. And they were like, we can talk about that. We'll see. So I literally, like the next week, I made a PowerPoint presentation and I presented it to my parents about why I should not go back to school and that I needed to move to Nashville and all of that. And that was very, very me to do the PowerPoint, because I was always like straight A student, like perfectionist, that kind of person. So it was also very weird for them to be like, oh my gosh, our, you know, perfectionist, like school loving daughter is trying to leave school. This is crazy. Literally immediately they were like, okay, like, yeah, like you're serious about this and we're serious about this. Like, let's put a business plan together. Let's contact venues. Let's figure out how we can make this work. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, okay. So it was really cool to have them like immediately be like, yeah, let's figure this out. Let's, you know, we're going to help you as much as we can. And my parents are awesome and they come to every single show pretty much still, even now that I'm in Nashville. They try to come and see me as much as they can. And they've been awesome. But I ended up moving back to St. Louis for a year, and I gigged like literally every, you know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, anywhere I could in St. Louis, just to try to start saving up money for Nashville and to kind of get my name out there a little more in my hometown. But yeah, after that year was up, it was the year of 2020. So it was a little rough. But I ended up moving to Nashville in September of 2020.
And that's where you've been now. With keeping that Central Mass vibe going, we have to thank our friends over at the DCU Center, again, here in Worcester, dcucenter.com. They are the premier venue here in Central Massachusetts. They are a mid-size arena. They're the home of the Worcester Railers, the Massachusetts Pirates, numerous concerts, numerous events. Check them out, dcucenter.com. They are at 50 Foster Street, right here in Worcester. Cheers.
For the last 3 years.
Yes. Yep.
Damn. Now, so right, you moved to Nashville in 2020. How much of it was an obstacle for you being fresh in the city and, you know, making those connections with everything that was going on?
Yeah, I think luckily I didn't really know what Nashville was like before that, because everyone I talked to who's lived here for years is like, oh my gosh, Nashville's so different. Like, it just, things aren't the same now. But this is the only Nashville I've really known. So, which I think is kind of a good thing for me, that I don't have to see the dramatic change of, you know, whatever people are talking about. But luckily, I feel like in September, things were starting to open up a little more. And that was why I decided to move, because my original plan, I wanted to be in Nashville that summer and be there for CMA Fest and all those things that, you know, ended up getting canceled. But by September, venues were open again. And I kind of just told myself, I was like, you know, who knows when things are going to be totally back to normal. So if I have this little chance right now where most venues are open and people are doing things again, then I need to get there. And it was actually really cool. The first weekend I moved, I went to a writer's night at Belcourt Taps, which is now closed, but that was a really cool venue here in town. And I met a few people who I knew from just Instagram, like, you know, connecting over the years. And they brought me up on stage that night. They were like, oh my gosh, it was like the day I moved to town and I got to play my first show. So it was really cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's super cool. I love that. I love that. So, you know, over the last few years, you know, you've been able to really kind of hit the ground running and, you know, do everything you're supposed to do when you're in Nashville, right?
Mm-hmm.
How much of that has, or doing that, what has that led you to do, you know, that maybe you wouldn't have been able to do without those sorts of connections and those sorts of, you know, meetings with people?
Yeah. So when I first moved to Nashville, I knew I wanted to put a band together. That was like one of my top, you know, priorities of being here. Because in my head, I was thinking, like, you know, when you think of Carrie Underwood or Miranda Lambert or, you know, these people that I look up to, when they're playing shows, they have a band. Like, you just assume that that's what's happening. So I kind of wanted to be able to brand myself that way. And, you know, I had some guys that I played with back in St. Louis who were awesome. And they were like my dad's friends that were just super cool and would play with me. But I knew that I needed to put like a band together. So that's something that, you know, wouldn't have happened if I wasn't in Nashville. And now we're on the road a whole bunch. This past year has been crazy. We've been out of town a ton, doing a lot of Midwest. Like, you know, I go back to St. Louis quite a bit and play, and we do a lot of Kentucky and Iowa, Illinois, places like that. But being on the road has been so cool. And we actually, about a month ago, got to open for Dierks Bentley, which was so exciting. And just like a literal dream come true for me. I actually got to sing a duet with Dierks during the show, and really, really cool. So that's kind of a pivotal moment where I was like, oh my gosh, I'm doing something. Like, things are starting to happen.
Yeah. So how does that happen for you?
That was just a wild, lucky time and place thing. The guy who hired Dierks for this event, it was actually a fundraiser for the U.S. Olympic ski team. And the people that hired Dierks had seen me play and liked me. And so they asked if I would be the direct support. So it was just lucky. And then I don't know what came over me, but I decided, you know, it was like, what do I have to lose? I decided to just ask Dirks while I was there if I could sing a song with him. And he was so cool and so nice and was like, oh my gosh, like, yeah, let's do it. So we sang a song together.
What song did you sing?
We did Different for Girls, his duet with L. King.
Nice.
Yeah. Nice.
Now did you have any time to prepare that, or was it just like a
let's do this sort of thing
like right now?
It was kind of a let's do this, but I in my head for the few weeks leading up to this show, I knew I wanted to ask him. So I had been like listening to the song a whole bunch and kind of practicing it on my own. And I hired a videographer to come with me literally on the off chance that I would get to sing with him, because I wanted to have, you know, a good video of it. So it all kind of went to plan. It worked out how I hoped it would in my head.
That's awesome. That's, you know, it's funny because we get to meet Dirks, years ago, right?
Yeah.
Like when he was still kind of a nobody, and he was super nice, super genuine, and like everything since then, like that's all I can imagine, you know, because he doesn't come off as, you know, like the fame has gotten to him and he has the ability to do do a lot more, but you know, I think he, you know, I talk about it all the time how he is like one of, if not my favorite country artists of all time.
No, he's awesome, and I feel like I shocked myself by even asking him, but then when he said yes, I was just like, are you serious? I was like, really? And he was like, yeah, like why not, let's sing. And I was like, oh my gosh, like I mean he did not have to do that at all, and he was very nice and talked to me for a while about my music and things going on, and I was just, yeah, it was cool. He didn't have to do that, and he did. So.
Yeah, he could have just been, you know, he could have just been like, yeah, no. Or you could have gotten up there and just totally sucked, you know.
Right. Exactly.
Such a chance.
I know.
That's cool. You know, it gives me some hope, you know, with people in general that.
Yes, totally. You know,
even at that kind of name recognition and that fame, like you could still be a human being.
Totally. Yep.
Now, for what you're doing with your own stuff, what's that look like for you? Like, how much of it is, you know, actually your own standalone songs? How much of it is, you know, collabs with other people? You know, that sort of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So before I moved to Nashville, I was writing a ton just by myself. I had never co-written. I didn't really know how or what that would look like. So the first probably like 5 singles that I put out are all solo writes. And I would come down to Nashville and record those. And I'd, you know, stay for like a couple of days and kind of walk around and see the places and try to find live music. And then head back to St. Louis. But as soon as I moved here, I kind of dove into the co-writing. That is like the biggest thing here in Nashville. Everybody writes with everybody, and I didn't realize how much it would help me as a writer, just, you know, having other people's points of views in the room. And it's really cool now because I have my kind of group of people who I write with constantly, and you know, it's fun with people like that because you know each other very, very well once you start writing with somebody. And you can get to the point where, you know, you throw out a dumb idea and people are like, nope, that doesn't make sense. That's not right. And you're like, yeah, okay. Like you're right. But it actually, one of my best friends, her name's Haley Payne. She's an artist, and she put out a song called End in Boyfriend last year. And it's a song we wrote together, but it came from one of the dumb ideas that I said in the room, and it sparked something in somebody else. And we were like, oh my gosh, like, yes. So it's really fun getting to collaborate and write with your friends for sure.
That's awesome. That's awesome. No, I'm sure the opposite happens too, where, you know, you throw out even just a smidgen of idea, whether it's good or bad. And, you know, if you're writing with people that often, like they know exactly what, you know, maybe you're thinking that,
Yes.
Before you even know what you're thinking.
Totally. Yes. It's really cool. That's what everyone says. Co-writing is kind of like dating. You just have to kind of find your people. And, you know, the first co-write might be kind of awkward. You might be nervous or whatever, but you just either you gel or you don't. And you just kind of got to figure it out.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, did you have to do a lot of that, you know, kind of changing it up with people you were writing with when you first started doing that? Or
a little bit. Yeah. There's definitely some people who, you know, I wrote with like once or twice, and it just, I feel like, was a mutual thing where we just never wrote again. Because no, you're not, because we didn't, you know, enjoy each other, like each other, but there's just, I feel like some people that writing wise that you click with more, and it just is easy. Like there's some people who I write with and we'll finish a song in an hour and be like, all right, you want to start another one? Like, let's just keep going, that kind of thing. So, yeah.
That's awesome. Now, out of, you know, out of what you have song-wise and what you've released and all that, where are you on the front of, you know, whatever may be next? You know, whether it's a, you know, an album, an EP, or, you know, or is it just going to be singles for you? Like, how do you plan to do all that?
Yeah, as of now, I like releasing singles. You know, I always say until I have a label involved who, you know, will be able to help promote and pay for being able to put an album together. I like the singles. I feel like I think of, like for me at least, unless it's like Taylor Swift or Kelsey Ballerini or somebody that I really love, it's hard sometimes to sit down and listen to an entire album, you know? So it's like, I want to make the most of the songs that I'm putting out. So if I can give people one new song to listen to every, you know, couple of months, and that's, you know, the one song they're going to focus on and really listen to and love, then I want to keep doing it that way for now.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. Cause I know you just recently put out, Everybody's His Type with,
with
Andrea, right? So is that, is that included in your, you know, for you, do you include that in your, you know, personal single releases, or is that?
Now we got to thank our friends on the North Shore, the Porch Southern Fair and Juke Joint. Our buddy Jonathan Post is the head chef and owner of The Porch. They are at 175 Rivers Edge Drive, right in Medford, Massachusetts. Don't want to miss this place. They have some of the best food in the region. Jonathan has brought his Nashville roots here to New England with the food, with the hospitality, and most of all, the music. Check him out, theporchsouthern.com.
That kind of like an offshoot for you.
Yeah, honestly, I feel like a lot of the collabs, I've done a couple duets, and I feel like they're usually just kind of side projects. But with Everybody's His Type, I fell in love with that song. Like as soon as we wrote it, I loved it. And the more I play it out with my band, it's one that the crowds always love, and people know it and request it at a lot of my shows now. So honestly, I think it's one that I kind of will keep as my own and continue to play out.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. That's awesome. You know, cause it's a very, you know, I'm not a female, but it's a, you know, it's a relatable.
It's a relatable. Yeah, yes. Very much so. Yes.
You know, even though it's coming from the, like, you know, the female perspective, you know, any guy that, you know, has enough self worth and can, like, yeah, be like, yeah, no. like it's spot on. It is spot on.
Thank you for that. Thank you. Yes, yeah. That is. All of my songs I write are about some part of my life. So that was a very true story that we both kind of pulled from our each of our experiences and wrote that.
I'm sure. You know what, I would love to hear it from the guy's perspective. You know what I mean? Because it's like being a guy, like you don't hear songs like that. You know, I was talking to somebody the other day, and we were talking about, you know, murder ballads, right? You always hear the female perspective.
Yeah.
You know, because you can. It's almost like you can, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You could, you know, if you wanted to today sit down and write a murder ballad about killing your boyfriend or your husband or whatever, it's a radio hit, right? But if I had any sort of talent and could do that, and I wrote that song about killing my wife or my girlfriend or whatever, I would be, you know.
You'd have like the FBI come in to find
right,
you.
Right. Yeah. I would be tar, lint, feathered in the town square because it's like, yes. you just don't do it.
Right. That's so true. You know, yeah. I never thought about that.
It's so wild. I mean, you think about it, right? Even with all the, pardon my language, but all the bullshit that's going on now with Maren Morris and for whatever reason why she's in headlines. You know, if Ryan Hurd came out and put out a divorce album, nobody would listen to it.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean? But like Carly does it and Kelsey Ballerini, you know, and all these female artists do it and it shoots up the charts. And it's, you know, and granted, you know, I think females can write a much better song with feeling and emotion than the guys can. But, you know, it's just wild how it works out. How it,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, that is true. I guess, the girls can have that rap and then the guys are get the rap of writing the truck songs and the beer songs. And right. We've all got, you know, our things going on.
Right. You know, I mean, the guys have tried it, right? I mean, Morgan Evans has tried it and nobody cared. You know?
Yeah.
Michael Ray puts out a clap back and, you know, that it's a great tune, but it doesn't get the hype.
Yeah.
It's just funny. Yeah. Sorry, I've just kind of gone on a tangent, but but it's true. It's just so funny, like the double standard, you know, and that's, I guess, that's the industry in itself, right? I mean,
it, yes, for sure.
You know, if you were to sit down and write a truck and a beer song, people would look at you like, what are you doing?
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just funny. It's funny.
It is.
So now that you know, you're putting out the singles that, you know, pretty much, you know, every 8 weeks or whatever it is, whatever your schedule looks like, how many singles do you have currently ready to go that are, you know, you could just submit right now and they're good?
Actually only one that is like totally ready to go. I am like the queen of being behind on everything. So I have probably like the next 5 songs planned out.
Okay.
And I have a couple of them about halfway done in the recording process. But I'm the worst. Any song we ever do, I think of like last minute changes or things that I think would make them better. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I'm always constantly rushing at the end. Even with photo shoots and things, I had a song a couple years ago I put out called Seasons, and it was one of my favorite photo shoots I've ever done. We wanted it to be a rain shoot. So I was wearing like this strapless black flowy dress and I wanted to be like covered in rain. And I waited until January to do this photo shoot and I wanted the song to come out the next month. And so I had to, like, we literally used a hose and I was outside and it literally snowed that next day. Like it was like 30 degrees and I don't know how I was okay, but we got it done and the photos looked awesome. But, I have not learned my lesson since then. I'm always kind of last minute on ideas and things. But I do have a new song coming out in the next couple of weeks, early November. I'm doing a new version of my song Flower Girl. We're going to put out a wedding style version of that song, which I'm really excited about. And that was kind of another last minute thing I thought of literally a couple weeks ago. So I called my producer and we got in the studio super quick and that'll be out really soon.
That's awesome. Now what is that? Because I've been seeing that a lot where, you know, artists are taking their songs and making them into, you know, wedding songs. Is that a new fad that's going on?
It might be. I know a lot of people are doing like acoustic versions and things like that. And I think it's just to have some more content and things out there to kind of bridge the gap between releases. But I was going to do actually like an acoustic, you know, stripped down version of Flower Girl, but it is, you know, a wedding song. So I had seen a couple other artists put out, you know, wedding versions. So I thought it'd be perfect to do kind of just a more piano ballad version of this song that would be really pretty for, you know, a first dance or walking down the aisle or whatever it is.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great idea. You know what I mean? It really is. Because I think exactly what you said, you know, it helps bridge that gap, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, because you had released the regular version of Flower Girl already this year, right?
Mm-hmm.
At the beginning of the summer. And then now you're going to have the wedding version. Are you going to have another release before the end of the year, or are you going to wait now until 24?
I'm going to wait now until 24. So we'll have, I just put out the music video for Flower Girl, which kind of sparked the idea to do this wedding version. So we'll just have the wedding version out and then kind of go into Christmas time and promote some of my, I put out a few Christmas songs the past couple of years. So kind of bring those back to life and promote those. And then I'm planning to release, you know, pretty early into 2024, probably late January, early February will be the first single.
Nice. Awesome. Now, do you have that one ready, or is the Flower Girl wedding version the one that you...
The Flower Girl wedding version is the one that's ready, but the next one is almost there. I just have to add literally just my vocals in. So
gotcha.
We're so close with that one.
So now with you being the... because you said it at the beginning, and I can like relate to it. Are you an only child, by the way?
I'm not. I have a younger brother and sister. My sister and I are 2 years apart, and then my brother and I are 4 years apart.
All right, because when you said about being a perfectionist, like I'm an only child, and I'm the kind of the same way. So like I was like, oh, I get it. And it's a huge only child trait. So they just wanted to.
That's funny. Yeah.
Now, with being that way, right? Do you go back to some of your songs and like say to yourself, shit, I should have changed this and better than you, or I should have did that and birthday hangover, you know, do you ever get those moments of like, now that it's out and you can hear it, you're like, oh God, I should have did it differently.
Sometimes I feel like with a lot of my earlier songs, the ones, especially I wrote by myself, you know, I was 19, 18, 19, 20 when I wrote those songs. So I think a lot of that is just like me growing as a writer, and being like, oh, I could have said that differently, or I could have done this or whatever. But I try not to think that way. If I catch myself thinking that way, I'm like, no, like it's good though, you know, and I like it. And, but definitely if there's songs that I haven't released yet or done vocals, or right before I go in the studio is when I kind of really look at a song and I'm like, what is wrong in this, or what could I change or tweak?
So I think I would be totally remiss if I didn't mention our friends over at 10thwhiskey.com. That's 10th Mountain Whiskey and Spirit Company. They're out of Vail, Colorado. Great, great friends of ours. We don't like bourbon here at the Boots and Whiskey Podcast, and they make the absolute best bourbon I've ever tasted in my entire life. And I'm not saying that because they've been great to us. They have the best bourbon, the best rye I've ever tasted in my entire life. So check them out, 10thwhiskey.com. Tell them the Boots and Whiskey Podcast sent you. Cheers.
Or make better.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you know, you're right, because it's, you know, things that you put out, you know, 5 years ago or whatever, it's... to now, it's also like a snapshot in time where
Somebody
can go back and say, all right, here was the first one, here's the latest, and look at how much has changed.
Yeah, for sure. And it is really cool to see how much I've grown in the past few years, even from that first full band show that I played, you know, my freshman year of college. I like can't even look at videos from that night because it was fine. And back then I thought I, you know, killed it. But looking back just where I'm at now, I'm like, wow, like it is really wild to see how much I've grown in the past few years.
Yeah, I'm sure. Now, I'm going to give you a hard-hitting question here because we don't pull punches here at the Boots and Whiskey Podcast. And so I have to ask, right? Seeing Flower Girl comes out at the beginning of this summer, and now you have a stripped down version or a wedding version of Flower Girl, does it worry you that there's too much Flower Girl this year?
I don't think so. I think Flower Girl is such a unique song, I guess, compared to the other ones that I have put out. And I think we kind of gave it enough time between, you know, I had Better Than You come out at the beginning of the year. And then I had Everybody's His Type. And now we're kind of wrapping up the year with a little more Flower Girl. So, yeah, I think this is just the year of Flower Girl.
I like it. I like it. Yeah. You know, because, you know, you see it, you know, you hear about it as you're like, you know, like maybe we did too much with the same song. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. And I love that you're confident in it because, you know, Flower Girl is a great song as it is. So
thank you.
You're welcome. I can only imagine what the wedding version is going to sound like.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I can't wait for everybody to hear it. I literally was like crying listening to it the first time in the studio.
That's awesome. That's when you know you've written a good one.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Yeah.
You're welcome. Now, you've got all these things going on. You're doing great things. And, you know, we're super excited and happy for you. And we're looking forward to seeing, you know, where you go, you know, from here, honestly. You know, I think it's,
yeah,
I think the sky's the limit for you. You know, you have the sound, you have the chops, the writing skills, you know, you're a full package, girl.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm excited to see, you know, what's to come. I definitely want to keep touring and hopefully hop on a bigger tour and be able to start opening for more people. You know, the Dierks thing was awesome this year, and I got to open for Priscilla Block earlier this year as well. So I hope that, yeah, things like that, kind of those doors keep opening and I'm able to just keep pushing forward.
Is Priscilla as awesome in real life as I imagine?
Yes, she was so fun. We literally went out to like the bars after the show and just had the best time. And yeah, she was so cool.
Oh my God. I probably shouldn't say this out loud, but she, you know how, like, you know, my wife and I, we've been together now for a while and you hear about hall passes or, you know what I mean? All that stuff.
Yeah.
Priscilla is mine. I don't care. And my wife says all the time, she goes, well, that's not fair because you actually have you could have the opportunity.
Oh my gosh.
Hey, you know what? I love that girl so much. She is such a spirit. You know, my wife laughs at me all the time. She's like, you're out of your mind. And I was like, yep, sure am.
Oh my gosh. I love it. No, she's so cool.
Yeah, I bet. You know, even just to have like a drink and a conversation with her would probably be.
Yes,
like,
totally. Yes. And she was so, she was awesome just to talk to, like, after her show. And then, yeah, to get to go out and party with her. And she was like, oh my gosh, like, come with us. Let's go. And I was like, okay, cool.
Yeah. You know, because those TikToks her and her friend do, my God, mm-hmm. I like crack up. Like, you know, I could be late in bed scrolling TikTok because that's when everybody scrolls TikTok.
Yes.
And, you know, I start laughing and my wife is like, what is so funny? And I'm like, you got to see this. This is fantastic.
Oh my gosh.
Oh God, I love her. She doesn't know it yet, but one day she will be my wife.
Wife number two. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, Molly. Thank you so much for being here. Before we part ways and I let you get on with your day again, I thank you for your time. I apologize for the little delay we had. We got hung up with something else before we jumped on.
Oh, no. You're good.
Because we are the Boots and Whiskey podcast, I got to ask about your boots and about your whiskey of choice.
Love it. Yes. My boots, I'm just obsessed with anything sparkly. I have an entire boot closet. Instead of having a washer and dryer in my apartment, I chose to make that entire closet my shoe closet.
Nice.
So
I
have a lot of boots from many different places, but usually any of the sparkly ones are my go-to, my favorite. And I actually recently became more of a whiskey girl. I blame that on my band. They drink a lot of Maker's Mark. So that is what I've been drinking.
Nice. Nice. Have you gone away from the Maker's Mark or is that just what you know? So you stick with it.
Yeah, that's kind of what I know. Anytime I drink like a Jack and Coke, I can have like one. Whiskey just hits me different. I can have like one and I'm like, oh, I should stop. but for some reason I can drink a little bit more of Maker's. So that's sure. what I stick with.
That's awesome. That's awesome. That's so cool. well, thank you for coming on and telling us your story and, you know, being so cool about everything. You know, it's been a pleasure hearing about you and knowing about you and, you know, being introduced to your music, which is, you know, really fantastic. And I look forward to seeing and hearing what happens next for you.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It was great to talk to you.
Oh, anytime, anytime. All right, Molly. Thank you so much.
All right, thanks. See ya.
Bye.
Dallas Jackson here with Tipsy Music. Artists, are you tired of getting $5 to play Freebird? How are you getting fans to engage with your own music? Venmo and Linktree are just temporary solutions until now. Tipsy Music is the one-stop shop for live music to make your life easier and monetize your setlist. Tipsy takes Venmo, Apple Pay, Google Pay, and even credit cards all through your unique Tipsy QR code. Best part is no app to download, so fans can pay you quickly and get back to getting tipsy while watching you do what you do best. Sign up for free today at tipsymusic.com. That's T-I-P-S-E-E music.com at Tipsy Music on all socials. Long live live music.
Also, don't forget our friends over at hogwashandrhinestones.com. Our good friend Ray is the owner over there. She makes incredible clothing that you've seen all over the place, from Nashville to Boston to everywhere in between. Some really big names have worn her stuff. That's Hogwash, the letter N, rhinestones.com. Check them out. Tell them the Boots and Whiskey podcast sent you. You won't be disappointed. Check them out. Hogwashandrhinestones.com. Well, there you have it, everyone. Our conversation with Molly Lovett. Molly, thank you again so much for coming on and telling your story and being one of the sweetest people we've ever talked to. We talked to a lot of people, so thank you for your time and your hospitality. It was very, very much appreciated. We will look forward to talking to you again here soon. And as we had mentioned, the Andrea Vasquez portion of that will be released this week as well. We talked to Molly about that. We will talk to Andrea about that as well. So stay tuned for that. Again, thank you, everybody. Check out our Instagram and our Facebook and our TikTok and bootsandwhiskeyentertainment.com for all the cool stuff that's there. And that's it, guys. We'll see you on Wednesday for Cody Kyes. You know, and if you haven't realized, you know, here at the Boots and Whiskey podcast, it's all about real people, real stories, real country. You know, it's no bullshit. We have a great time. We get down to the nitty gritty with our guests, and we enjoy the candor quite a bit. So thank you again, Molly, for your time and your candor. We appreciate you. And again, our hearts and our thoughts go out to the people of Hendersonville, Middle Tennessee, parts of Kentucky. We are here for you. Cheers, guys. Until Wednesday, keep those boots on the ground and the whiskey in the glass. We'll see you Wednesday for Cody Kyes. Enjoy your next couple of days, and we'll see you soon. Thanks so much.